All right, good morning, golfers. Welcome to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful September 20th, 2014. Exciting week ahead. I have the Golf Week Amateur Tour Finals at Bethpage Red today. A lot on the line. We have our own little Ryder Cup that the top four teams from each flight, you know, they just they have the four different flights, the A, B, C, and D flights, and top four from each flight goes to a Ryder Cup event against the Golf Week Amateur Tour from the Philly area. So that's kind of exciting, and looking forward to that. We got the real Ryder Cup coming next week. It's an exciting time to be a golfer, that's for sure, and especially on Long Island. So looking forward to this weekend and next weekend, see how our Americans stack up against the Europeans. It doesn't look good on paper, that's for sure. And certainly history, I guess, used to be on our side. It is not at the moment. Certainly Europe has the sort of momentum, if you will. So it should be, you know, but I'm sure we have a lot of fight in us. And, you know, I'm sure Tom Watson will have them ready to go. But it's just kind of interesting to see how this will. It's an exciting Ryder Cup because we don't know how it's going to turn out. And certainly we all remember what happened. The miracle at Medina, and that's still, you know, they showed that a couple weeks ago on the Golf Channel, and it still hurts to watch that. I don't know. If you're a golf fan, it still hurts to watch. Looking forward to talking with RJ Zayats, the golf pro, the PGA teaching professional at Cold Spring Country Club, local guy, marrying a local girl. So, we're going to be talking with him about his teaching philosophy and whatnot, and really looking forward to talking to him. Real good guy, one of the good guys in the business. But we're going to take a short break, and when we're back, you're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
The Long Island Golf Association is a nonprofit organization of 81 private and public clubs. The LIGA conducts 15 championships annually and works closely with the Long Island Caddy Scholarship Fund. The scholarships are granted to young men and women who are employed at member clubs. For more information on how you can participate in a championship, or if you'd like to donate your time as a volunteer, please call the LIGA at 516-746-1015. That's 516-746-1015. 1015, or visit us at www.longislandgolf.org. Is your inspection due? Are you tired of listening to that noise your car is making? If you're looking for a reliable shop to service your car, try A1 Action Auto for all your car service needs. A1 Auto is a New York State certified shop, and owner Ed Terabile has over 25 years of experience. A1 Action Auto is conveniently located off Sunrise Highway in West Islip, so pick up the phone and call A1 Action Auto at 631-321-4242. That's 631-321-4242.
Well, there's a fire. All right, we're back. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. And on the line is Cold Spring Country Club PGA teaching professional RJ Zayats. RJ, how you doing, man?
I'm great. Good morning. How are you doing?
Doing all right. It's a beautiful morning. It's a good day for golf. And I'm sure you have a full tee sheet.
Yeah, we're actually playing a interclub match today and tomorrow against Cam O'Shanner, where I used to work for a long time. And so it's nice to see Mark Brown and a lot of the members here. They're just getting off right now, so it's a perfect day for us. So,
is this your little? Is it just a in a club match, or is it like a Ryder Cup thing? What do you got going on over there?
It's just a 2-day interclub. We play one day here and one day over at Cam O'Shanner.
Okay,
and they traditionally do one in the spring and one in the fall. And this season we're at Cam O'Shanner, and then next week Cold Spring's actually having its in truck club Ryder Cup event.
Nice.
You know, in correlation with the real Ryder Cup, so that's a lot of fun out here.
Yep. It's a busy time, just as the fall wraps up you just probably had the club championships, and you know, the fall eases up probably a little bit with the teaching schedule, but there's still a lot of championships to be held.
Oh yeah, and the golf fall has always been my favorite time of year to play, because of course it's in such good shape, and it's just such nice days, and it's fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. RJ, when did it all start for you in terms of golf? How did you get started, and who was it that turned you onto it?
Well, initially, it was actually Jack Nicklaus. My father is still a PGA teaching professional up in the Finger Lakes, but he never really pushed me into playing. I was always playing, you know, baseball and hockey. But when I was 13 years old, I went up. My dad was a marshal at the PGA Championship in 1980 at Oak Hill in Rochester, New York, and I literally followed Jack Nicklaus the whole week, and it was just an amazing thing, and he won the event. And I just, at that time, I was a 30 handicap, and I, you know, I could hit it far, but I really didn't know where it was going or had any concept of scoring or anything like that. And one of the biggest things that my dad helped me, I worked for him since a very young age in the pro shop and things, and one of my jobs was to drive the range cart, and it was so much fun.
Sure.
But then when I decided I wanted to get good, he didn't let me drive it anymore. At the end of the day, he would give me a wedge and said, go hit all the balls close to the pin. And I did that, and that was August 1980. By the next, and that was a 30 handicap. By the next August, I was down to a 3.
Wow.
And the next year, I was like all state in the state of New York and off to,
wow.
You know, we were really playing a lot. And it was, yeah, pretty, I got pretty good pretty quick. And Jack Nicklaus and my dad are definitely the two biggest influences in my golf.
Now,
as far as that goes.
Any chance that your dad taught at the golf farm in Newark, New York?
That's him.
I have a Twitter follower, Ron Lewis, who follows me and supporter of the show. And he, when I announced that you were going to be on the show, he said, "I wonder if he, you know," he asked me if he was related, and I didn't know.
That's my dad's facility up there, the golf farm where your golf game grows.
That's fantastic.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, and he said that your dad's. He said that was his first lesson.
Huh.
That he ever took was from your dad, and he said your dad's term was loosey-goosey.
Right? That's great.
Does he still say that? Is that?
He will, yep.
Well, the question is, I guess, do you say that?
Well, I'm a big proponent of loose hands, but yeah. I don't go as far as loosey-goosey.
That sounds like something a dad would say, right?
Yep.
Loosey-goosey? That's funny. So, yeah, Ron Lewis, you know, loved taking a lesson from your dad, and just think probably that was 30 years ago, and he still remembers loosey-goosey. It's a small world. That's funny.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, yeah. I'll be anxious to tell my dad about that.
What would you say? I mean, at what point did you, I mean, you've done a little bit of everything in terms of playing in local PGA Tour events. You've won in New York, Florida, Vermont. You've played on the South American Tour, the Hooters Tour. You played golf at Florida State. You know, what were those experiences like on the tours? And how did that basically shape you and what you were going to do in terms of for the rest of your life as a teaching professional?
Very blessed to have the opportunities to play competitive golf anywhere. But
right.
Then basically traveling all over this hemisphere.
Yeah, sure.
To compete is, you know, it's kind of experience that you can't, you know, it's hard to, you can't just buy that. It's like, you know, fantastic competitive experience like that. And I've been lucky too in the travel that I've done and you know, I've been associated with some really good teachers. Top 20 teachers like Craig Harmon and Craig Shanklin, and it's certainly influenced, you know, the way that I teach. And actually, Craig Shanklin was inducted in the Met PGA Hall of Fame this spring. And
right.
He was the speaker at the educational forum, and I hadn't seen him in like 10 years. And just listening to him, I made me realize how much he really influenced the way that I teach. And
the memories just come flooding back when you hear him speak, and
oh yeah,
it just
totally
brings you right back to the teaching to the teeing ground.
Yeah, and actually, when I was working with him, is when I was playing the mini tour events, and that a lot of mini tour events, I was kind of chasing the back then. In those days, it was the Nike Tour, and I didn't make too many cuts on that, but I did qualify for a few events, so he had me on the right track.
Right. Yeah. What was it like playing in South America?
That was pretty wild. That was, golf courses were interesting, you know, pretty scenic, and luckily we had a good translator that helped.
Right,
none of us, the group we were traveling in, were very fluent in Spanish like that, but there was actually one course in particular. I remember between the first and the second hole, there was a giant canyon.
Uh-huh.
And the only way to get across it was across a rope bridge.
Are you kidding me?
Very unsturdy, and I have a somewhat of an issue with open heights.
Oh, wonderful.
I can fly. I'm fine. But when it's open, I'm like really scared. So we're playing the first practice round. I'm walking across the bridge, and then all these other guys start shaking it and stuff. And I was
oh boy.
No.
Oh, boy.
So I pretty much, during the tournament, I would kind of try to putt out first and get a head start on the bridge and just be like, don't look down, and get across before, because they'd be halfway across the bridge and I could feel the other people walking on and it started shaking and I was like,
that's a little unnerving.
It was definitely scary, yeah, but as far as the golf and the competition, that was a great experience too, being down there. Jeez.
What a life experience, you know, traveling a foreign country and sort of a bonding experience, I'm sure, with your fellow competitors, but also friends, and you know, you're traveling around a beautiful part of the country.
Yeah, oh, amazing! I mean, golf's been so good to me, and you know, introduced me to so many amazing people that I can't even imagine. You know what my life would be without golf. It's just been very, very fortunate. So,
yeah, that's fantastic. We're going to let me take a short break. We'll have more from RJ Zayich. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Terry Landscaping is an award-winning designing building landscape firm serving Long Island for over 2 decades. Located in Brightwaters, we are owner-operated and proud of the superb relationships we maintain with our customers. The services we provide will ensure that all phases of your project will be completed to your satisfaction. Contact us at 631-968-4882. That's 631-968-4882 to learn more about how we can transform your property into something of beauty and lasting value.
It's here at last, golf season. South Shore Golf in Oakdale presents Mega Demo Day on Monday, June 13th, 4 to 8 p.m. at the Timber Point Golf Course. You'll have the opportunity to hit new clubs for 2011. TaylorMade, Ping, Titleist, Cobra, Mizuno, Callaway, and Nike. Make sure you get down here for your chance to win a brand new TaylorMade R11 driver. Whether you play golf or you're just learning, how about getting fit for clubs by their professional and certified staff? Also, a PGA trade-in value for used clubs to be applied for new products, so bring those old clubs down. South Shore Golf also specializes in golf club repair, regripping, and PGA golf instruction. They will not be undersold. They will match all local prices. For more information, call South Shore Golf 631-563-2025, 631-563-2025, or check them out online at southshoregolf.net. Heading out east? How about a quick and easy stop for all your golf needs? Let South Shore Golf take your game to the next level.
All right, we're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. My guest is RJ Zayich, the Cold Spring Country Club PGA professional, teaching professional there. RJ, you said your some of your influences in terms of teaching were Harmon and Shanklin. What is sort of your teaching philosophy? Are you a parts to the whole guy? Are you the whole swing guy? What is the sort of foundation to your teaching practices?
I mean, you always have to start with the base, good fundamentals. Mm-hmm. You know, you watch the tour pros when they practice. They always are monitoring their alignment lines and their posture lines and their ball position lines. If you don't have, you know, though, you could have take the greatest athlete in the world. If he has bad aim, bad posture, bad grip, he's going to have a lot of issues.
Sure.
You know, maximizing what he can do, you know, with the golf club like that. So once you're set up good, then, you know, I just go, you know, the biomechanics of, you know, big muscles creating the power, transferring to the small muscles, and I'm still a big proponent of Hogan's five fundamentals.
Honestly, yeah.
I carry that around with me in my teaching cart every day and refer to it a lot, because a lot of what people talking about still is, you know, awfully valid today.
When you say the fundamentals, I remember Paul Azinger not too long ago having a sort of Twitter argument with a couple people, and I guess is when you say fundamentals, can that be loosely interpreted? I mean, is there a strict set of you know, Paul Azinger likes to say that everybody has like a fingerprint, and sort of question the idea of fundamentals. I know Mike Hebron, I'm sure you know, a local legend here teaching out of Smithtown Landing, and he kind of, I remember talking to him once, and he was saying that there are sort of, you know, you know, when you look at the professionals' grips on the club, it ranges about 160 degrees in terms of where they put their hands. So when we say fundamentals, is that a loosely interpreted term?
Maybe sitting the grip personally, because there's definitely a lot of different grip positions like that, but I would have to think in more of the alignment and the posture lines. They're probably a little less or a little more strict on the fundamentals like mm-hmm. that. And then I know I actually listened to him do a talk last. He chaired a pro-am I played in Orlando last winter, and he was talking a lot. He did, you know, after for the luncheon and stuff like that. He made a nice speech, and he was, you know, kind of said he did use the same, that same term with the fingerprint like that. And
right.
I mean, if you look at all the tour pro swings and any tour, any competitive level, there are certain areas where they're, you know, the swing path into the ball and muscle sequencing like that are kind of, they may have different, slight little different ways of getting there, but in that impact area, they're all,
right,
you know,
right.
There's some pretty similar things going on like that.
Sure. They all sort of end up at the same place.
Sure, definitely, right? And then, I mean, look at a guy like Furyk has that kind of funny funny move.
Sure.
But he gets that on the inside and gets, you know, great muscle sequencing into the impact zone. And probably if someone, when he was younger, had told him to put the club in the, you know, the traditional position at the top like that, we may have, you know, never even heard of him. So you can't fight a natural tendency if it's feels good to the player and they can still get the club back to where we want it through that impact zone there, into and through it.
Yeah, I was just kind of curious because people tend to throw around that term fundamental. And I just kind of wanted to break it down and really what, you know, what are the fundamentals? If there are fundamentals, what are they? You know what I mean?
Yes. I mean, the grip position, I know some people will have to turn it under or over to control their flight like that, but one good fundamental in the grip would have to be like my dad. You know, going back to the loosey-goosey, you want to have
sure.
looser, smaller muscles that can receive the energy transfer from the bigger muscles like that.
That's one of the hardest things, I think, as a golfer, trying to, you know, I don't know what it is for, you know, from being an athlete that I played in a lot of sports, to me that was the hardest thing, was to transfer from the big muscles to the little muscles. That, you know, I'd say if there was one last thing that I learned after, you know, becoming a, you know, say, single digit handicap, was the idea of how much soft hands and loose hands and that transference makes a big difference in control and distance.
No doubt, right? I mean, really, in any, you know, the biomechanics of any sport motion like that all involves the energy transfer of the bigger muscles to the smaller muscles. So the small muscles have to be loose enough to receive that. And I think in golf, because, you know, our rational mind tries to control things with the small muscles, that's why it's tougher for you know, mid or even some lower handicappers have trouble. Even pros have trouble letting it go sometimes. So it's
right.
not
sure.
I think that's one. That's another reason too. Like the sports psychologists teach the tour pros to use their breath and their pre-shot routine to relax their minds and their upper body to allow that to happen. Because if you think of the higher swing speeds of, you know, the longest hitters, or even, you know, just a regular LPGA tour type of player, or whatever, there's no way that there's any manipulation in those small muscles through the impact. And
right.
if there is, it's not effective.
Right, right. Or if it's probably a flip of the club, really.
Sure, oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Some kind of manipulation with the small muscles independently can't be nearly as effective as a loose, you know, energy transfer. Like that'd be like a, you know, so the quarterback getting to ready to release the ball, he's pivoted his body and everything, and then just flicking with his hand.
Right, exactly.
Not go nearly as far as if he lets it all transfer down like that. So.
Yeah, yeah. At what point did you become, for lack of a better term, like a man in terms of your teaching philosophy? At what point did you become really confident in, like, this is who I am as a teacher, and I know we're all learning. I mean, That goes without saying. I'm not saying you've become this sort of, you know, omnipresent, you know, know-all or anything like that. I'm just saying, at what point, what was your aha moment where it said, okay, this is who I am, this is my identity as a teacher? At what point did that happen?
That's a great question. That'd probably be sometime I taught a lot in the past, and then when I first met Tam O'Shanter, and I got some, you know, good guidance from Mark Brown, I think that somewhere along those years in there, when I really started teaching a lot, you know, really a lot, and
right.
having good success, I was like, you know, this is, you know, that's a great great identity like that.
Mm-hmm.
That would definitely be it. So that's in the early 2000s. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it was a good while because I was, you know, had a couple of good jobs in Florida teaching to some degree, but never as much as I started teaching once I moved up to the Met section here.
Right, right.
That's definitely.
How great is playing in the Met section?
It's great. It is. If you're not playing, you know, on the one of the big tours, it's definitely the place to be playing like that. They run, Charlie Robinson does a fabulous job running these events and his staff and great job with the sponsors and everything. It's amazing, really.
And the competition is pretty
pretty
stiff.
Sure. There's probably 20 guys in the section that didn't get into the National PGA Championship and sure and that are capable of winning it.
Yeah, so sure.
you know,
exactly. I think, like, you know, of those who made it a couple years ago, I think 25% were from the Met section.
Yeah,
I think that was 2 years ago. I don't know about last year what percentage was, but it was like 20 or 25% 2 years ago that of the PGAs that made it to the PGA Championship.
Oh, that made it. Yeah, they called it into the actual PGA.
That made it into the actual. Yeah, the 25. You know how they do that tournament at the end of the year, and you know the top 20 guys or whatever. And I think 20% of them were Met section guys.
It is amazing.
Yeah. It's. And you play some great golf courses, and I mean, you've traveled around the world. I mean, is there a better place to play golf than in this area?
No way. I mean, there's such a high volume of in a small area of just fantastic courses that you can't go wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I want to take one more break, and we'll do a little rapid fire maybe with RJ Zatz, a teaching professional at Cold Spring Country Club. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorsia.
Golf. Since 1979, Pete's Golf has been practicing the art of club fitting and has been selected as a top 100 club fitter by Golf Digest magazine. At Pete's Golf, we use the best technology available to create an exceptional fitting experience for every customer that walks into our store. Visit petesgolf.com or call 516-248-6891. That's 516-248-6891 and get your next set of clubs fit for you.
ABC 123 Golf. ABC 123 Golf is a summer program developed by Mike Wade, PGA. ABC 123 Golf offers instruction, practice, and play activities designed to give juniors the necessary knowledge and experience to become lifelong golfers. Improving the playing ability of the junior golfer is our primary objective. In addition, ABC 123 Golf stresses the concept of total youth development throughout the program. Please visit abc123golf.net or call us at 516-385-9294. That's 516-385-9294.
Welcome back to On Par with Anthony Scorsia. Thank you for joining me on this beautiful September 20th, 2014, talking with Cold Spring Country Club PGA professional RJ Zaitz. RJ, we'll play a little rapid fire, not too crazy, nothing too deep here. We're not a couple of deep thinking guys here. But let's say favorite course abroad.
Favorite course abroad.
Outside the United States.
Well, unfortunately, I've never gotten to, you know, Europe to play, so I haven't played any of those places yet like that. But
okay,
it was a place, Viña del Mar down in Chile, that was just so stunningly beautiful. The vistas,
right?
You know, the golf course wasn't necessarily the best design or condition or anything, but just the vistas were, you know, kind of distracting.
Yeah, sure.
It was great. Well, it wasn't very fast, rapid fire, but...
That's okay. That's all right. Well, but it does sound like you're due for a trip to Scotland, so...
Oh, totally, yeah.
So
yeah.
Just remember that you still have my number. And when you organize that, I will take it personally if I'm not included in those things. All right, favorite course on Long Island?
Long Island?
Wow.
Would probably be Atlantic.
Atlantic?
Yep.
That's a course I haven't seen. It's a little bit of a it's out there and kind of gets lost. I know it's spectacular. I know it's impressive, but it kind of gets lost out there, doesn't it? Doesn't get its due.
Oh yeah, it gets overshadowed by Shinnecock and Sabonic and mm-hmm. Bridge but I really enjoyed play the Met PGA there and the Long Island Open over there, and mm-hmm. it was fantastic, really.
Yeah, it's a nice little. I've heard lots of great things about it, and it's a shame it doesn't get its credit. Its favorite. Let's see. Let's do. If you had a foursome, who would it be in it? You say you're going to. Let's say you're going to Atlantic. Who are you bringing?
Right.
Who are you bringing?
Well, before Kelly and I get married the Friday before, I'm actually playing Wingfoot.
Whoa! All right.
His buddies with Mike Gilmore. He's kind enough to let me take Kelly's dad out there and my dad. So that's
a nice foursome.
Pretty upcoming, fantastic foursome we got going right there. So
wow, are you playing East or West?
West.
Nice. Yeah. That's a good foursome.
Yeah. Yeah, right. That's
and you're talking when I and for those who are listening, Kelly Feeney's a local girl here. I went to high school with and played football with her brother. It's a great family, and that's coming up soon, right? Couple of weeks.
It is, yeah. Four weeks from today.
We're, yep.
Getting right in there. So yeah, it's excellent.
All right, what's scarier, that walking down the aisle, and or the was your first shot on the Hooters tour?
Golf. Way more scary than that. That bridge.
The bridge. That's right. Oh, I should have said the bridge. Oh, damn! I blew my spot there.
On the aisle, seem.
That's funny. Favorite when you play golf, and let's say you have to hit one shot. Well, it doesn't matter the distance. Obviously, the club will take care of that. You have one shot. What club are you going to use?
Probably just let that driver fly.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. That surprises me. A lot of people would pick like a 9-iron, something they can control, you know, if their life depended on it or something like that. You're just ripping it. You're gripping and ripping.
I wouldn't mind letting that, just making a nice full motion and, trying to display some trust.
Is that the strength of your game?
Depends on the week.
Right. Well, let's say when you're playing, let's say you're not teaching a lot, and let's say you're playing a lot, and you're playing like RJ Zats knows how to play. What's the strength of your game?
It has been kind of fluctuating between ball striking and short game. It's like it's crazy how that thing cycle like that. But right now, probably hitting it better than I'm. Although I did just get a fabulous new putter that I'm starting to turn my putting around, so
what'd you get?
I wish I had gotten it. I got the TaylorMade Marinella with the black tour shaft.
Oh, okay, yeah, sure.
And it's I wish I had gotten it in May. The season's kind of over now, but
right.
It's really. I'm not sure what the components of the shaft and the difference is from their regular stock steel, and it actually has a new face in it, which is kind of soft, and I like that, especially around here. We got all these fast greens. You need
you need soft.
You need a little soft touch off the putter face for sure.
Absolutely. Well, RJ, thank you very much for joining me this morning, and all the best to you, you and Kelly, and in the coming future, and we wish you well.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been a blast.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. And enjoy your honeymoon.
Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
You got it. That was RJ Zats, the Cold Spring Country Club teaching professional. Grist, a really super guy, and just great to have him on the program. You're listening to On Par with Anthony Scorcher. Enjoy your week. We'll catch you back next week, Ryder Cup weekend, on WGBB 1240 AM.